Now, there's not many more famous and beloved bands in Australia over the last 25 years than Regurgitator. The band, born from a number of chance encounters between Kwan and today's guest, have been synonymous with Australian music for a long, long time. Ben Eli is not only the bassist and co-songwriter with Regurgitator, but has just released his third solo album, The Golden Path. It's wispy, it's explorative, and sometimes electronic and psychedelic journey through Eli's extraordinary brain. We're very lucky to have Ben Eli on the phone right now, all the way from Brizzy. G'day, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, so good. Good. Really good to talk to you on a Sunday.
I really like Darren Cross's records too. They're really good.
He's amazing, isn't he? He's playing around town all the time. Just such a laid-back guy. Has a real good manner and writes beautiful songs. So it's really great to see.
Yeah, I really like his folky kind of stuff. It's cool.
Yeah. He's a funny guy as well, and harks back to the days, you know, when the 90s, I guess, were all
true,
a bit looser and a bit more, you know, different.
I was with those dudes when we watched the towers fall down at 9/11 in Broome, of all places, on tour.
Wow.
We were staying at this, like, shitty hotel in Broome, and, saw the towers fall down. That's pretty crazy.
That would have been a pretty, you know, it's a weird time. I remember watching that night and just going, what's going on? You know, it was like, you couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Crazy
bizarre
times.
World.
And we fast forward.
Hear about Sydney. Hmm? Sydney's locked down too. That's pretty traumatic as well.
Yeah, it is. And I understand Brisbane's entering into a little short one as well, and hopefully it won't last too long. That seems to be the only way to get through these, if you do it quickly and hopefully knock it on the
head.
Yeah.
True. Definitely. Yeah. Crazy days, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is. And here we go. You've got your third album just released, recorded in a little back shed and your property. Exciting to sort of build your own recording space like that. I understand you got a mate together who helped you build it.
I did. Yeah. It was kind of, it was really great. We did it during the lockdown last year.
Yeah.
And then I guess I just had a lot of time on my hands because we weren't touring. So I just did a record but I just did it all by myself and did it in a way that wouldn't be played live because there's a lot of different parts on it and stuff. But funnily enough, I've done a couple of shows with a band that I put together in Brisbane. So, yeah, it's been really fun hanging out and rehearsing, at least even if you can't do gigs. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like you've always been keen on the jam, right? You like to get some people together. Get to a room.
Oh, man, like, I just feel like I'm all about it. And even the older I get, the more people I want to play with. I've been jamming with all sorts of different people. And I just think every time you play with someone different, you always learn something new, you know?
Yeah.
It's been really great, yeah.
I love that idea, and I've done the same, where you meet someone who's into music and they might play guitar or play bass or drums, and you just go, hey, let's get together, have a couple of drinks, have a jam, and just see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, I love the, you know, the puzzle of it. I love the kind of unknown outcome, because a lot of the times it can be quite a pleasant surprise. Yeah. But if it's with friends, it's always good anyway. So if it's just like a social occasion, that's always really good too.
For sure. But these albums you've made have probably been fairly solitary, I guess. You've made them yourself. Goodbye Machine 6 years ago now, and then the follow-up Strange Tales of Drugs and Lost Love. They were quite minimalist, sort of just you and a guitar sort of sounds, but you've changed it up a bit for The Golden Path. Want to experiment a bit more?
Yeah, just because, I guess it was because of the pandemic and stuff. I just, because I had the space, I kind of just wanted the freedom to make, I guess to compose for a larger kind of ensemble and not think about something that you could recreate live. So I guess that's why the record took that way. But, you know, when I started doing the record, it was really dark and it was really, had pretty heavy, intense kind of subject matter. And then as I was doing it, I think it was making me feel really depressed. So I kind of consciously wrote one song that was a little bit more lighthearted and kind of positive, and it made me feel pretty good. So I just kind of set off on that path, I guess. doing that kind of spirit in the studio or whatever. Yeah.
Was that? I mean, do you find that, like, when you're making music that's a little bit darker, a little bit more somber, that it does sort of affect your moods like that? Like, did you feel a conscious shift into being a more of a positive record straight away?
Yeah, I think it can, especially if you're writing and recording by yourself and no one else. And then if you're just doing all dark stuff, it can get pretty heavy. But so it was actually, I don't know, it was quite fun. Yeah, there is a couple dark ones on the record, but yeah.
Who do you get to listen to your records like first after you've made these songs?
Oh, it's funny. There's this really lovely fella called Rick Travascus, who's a mate of mine who works at Rocking Horse Record Shop in Brisbane, but he does the Glebe Record Fair in Sydney. I got him around to listen because he's a real kind of music aficionado guy. He's a good friend of mine, and I invited a few friends over individually.
Cool.
And that was actually really cool to have a sounding board in that way, to have my friends' opinions. It was good.
Do they get critique it? Do they go, oh, you know, maybe you change this up, or I love this bit, or maybe that bit could change?
Well, it was funny. There were some songs I kind of thought, oh, I don't like this song at all. I think it's terrible. And they're like, you definitely have to put this on the record. And they go, oh, and it turns out that a lot of people like it. But to me, I thought it was a dumb song. You know what I mean? So people have very different, people hear music so differently, you know, every individual.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, thinking about the music that you've made over the years and songs that you might jam with in a room with a bunch of guys, and then you record it and other people listen to it, and you're not quite sure how it's going to be interpreted, or whether, you know, what you've made is going to be, you know, embraced or not. Do you still feel that nervousness when you release music? Like, oh, is this going to work? Are people going to like it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely with the solos. I mean, the solo stuff's lyrical content's on a much more of a personal kind of perspective, whereas Regurgitate is always maybe an external kind of observations about things in the world and life. So with solo stuff, it's a lot more personal and talk about, more intimate things. So, it's definitely terrifying.
Putting yourself out there.
Absolutely
yeah.
terrifying, to be honest.
Yes. Well, I guess now you're living in Brisbane again. You've been there a little while now, permanently back in the town. And you know, does it feel different to how it used to be? Obviously, it's many decades past now since you grew up there. But do you feel, you know, like Brisbane can be the place it used to be again? Like, do you enjoy the music scene there?
When you cruise around the town, I mean, places are kind of like songs. When you hear a song or go to a place, it can teleport you back in time to a certain place in your past, and you have this really strong kind of feeling and emotional kind of attachment when you go to a place. So there is that. But, you know, when I came back here, I thought I would befriend people that I knew when I lived here, you know, 20 years ago. But I kind of made this kind of whole new friend group, and there's some really interesting musicians and artists in this town, and there's some cool things going on. I really like it. So yeah, it's partially familiar, but also there's some really kind of cool, sweet surprises as well. Yeah.
That's what Brisbane's sort of been known for, right? Like back when Regurgitator were, you know, peeking their head out in the early 90s and being Pangaea and Custard, all those guys.
Yeah.
You know, it was a scene that was quite straight and, you know, mainstream. And then all of a sudden these alternative bands popped up. Is there still that sort of underbelly of music and sort of scene, or is it more just layered on top now because it's more obvious and you can't sort of hide as much?
Oh, there's a lot going on here. I mean, there's a lot of really great bands and there's whole different communities, but I feel with the music scene in Brisbane, it doesn't really kind of adhere to certain genres and styles. People are just kind of doing all their own kind of thing and then all playing together, you know, so there might be an indie kind of noise band and a hip hop band or an alt country band on the same bill, or, you know, it's quite like a mishmash of different styles and different people. And everyone sort of just hangs out together because the community is smaller. So I don't know. It's really good. You know, there's things like, you know, you've got, you know, great radio stations as well, but we've got 4ZZZ, which is a pretty strong kind of community public radio station, which is really great.
Definitely, our sister station up there. We love community radio, of course, and 4ZZZ do an amazing job up there.
Yeah, they're great. Really, really cool. I love the building. It's a really great building.
Well, let's dive into one of the tracks from the album, The Golden Path. And the one I'm going to play now is Tale of the Cyclops. I love this track. It's a little bit different. It's got some great themes in there. And look, I'm going to ask you afterwards about the backwards bit, the backwards
okay.
vocals.
Yeah, sure, mate.
I was going to wind it back and do it myself, but I thought, no, I'll ask Ben, and he can tell me what it is.
Are you going to rewind it? Yeah.
Okay. I should have planned that. But this is, we're talking to Ben Eli with the latest album, The Golden Path, out now. And this is Tale of the Cyclops, and we'll continue chatting in just a sec. Love that fade out, Ben.
Thanks, man.
That's Tale of the Cyclops right there from Ben Eli, and he's on the phone right now on the Tuck Shop. It's one of my favorites on the album. I think it's just because it's sort of, it's got a bit of everything in it, you know, a bit of psychedelia, a bit of rock, and then sort of just a bit of a strangeness, a bit of quirk to it, which I like.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy. I don't know, because I was a teenager in the 80s, and my parents were kind of religious, and there was, you know, the teenage... the 80s satanic panic was kind of real where, you know, at the church groups they would hand out these flyers and say, you know, if you've got this Led Zeppelin record, there would be some backward masking tracks where they, you know, have satanic messages in there. And I just kind of thought, oh, man, I really want to put some backward masking on the record. So that's why I put all that. Like, I can't even remember what I said, actually. I think I just made up kind of like satanic kind of sounding words. So the only way you could work out what it is to play the record backwards, I guess.
Well, that's right. Get the record. there's no physical vinyl. The physical vinyl's out.
Yeah,
right? You can get it.
I got 300 copies of the record on recycled vinyl, which is pretty awesome, actually, because it's all different colors all mixed in together. So it's, every record looks like its own kind of style. But I got the first 50 that get sold will be gold copies that I think I might sell at my launch. I don't even know if my launch is going to happen now because of COVID. But there's copies on the Valve website. Yeah.
Yeah, Valve Records, Bandcamp. You can probably find on the website and the Bandcamp as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to rewind that. I did mean to do it before the show and I totally forgot. But I'm going to find out what it says. this record, The Golden Path. You've also got The Golden Light on there, and is that sort of, are they sort of like part one, part two, or are they linked, these tracks?
They're kind of really different, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, The Golden Light is more thinking about, you know, people that you've kind of come into contact with in your past, or from the deep past in your life, or even recent, if you have a falling out with them or something like that, or if it's an ex-lover. And I guess the idea of that song is to try and, you know, think of the good times that you have with them and trying to forgive them in your mind so you can let go of it and I don't know, just kind of feel good about your life with that forgiveness. But whereas The Golden Path is more about finding the riches and the richness in working in the arts, even though, like, especially these days with COVID, I guess, you know, there's not much money being made or no career kind of being created. But The Golden Path is still, like, it's still a rich source of satisfaction, you know, creating a song or creating a painting or making something, you know. I guess that's the idea. Like, you could work hard and make money, but I don't know. I don't find that as satisfying as being creative, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. And, like, people might not realize that you are an artist as well, and you've done some amazing artwork and you've done exhibitions and art for all sorts of people. Is that a constant thing you're always doing, drawing, creating art?
I usually do one or the other.
Okay.
At the moment, I'm kind of just doing a lot of music because it feels really good. And, I guess, like, last year I got diagnosed with, like, this pretty extreme anxiety and stuff, and then I kind of wanted to slow down and relax a bit more. So I've just been doing a lot of music because it's really quite, I don't know, it makes me feel quite calm and good. So, that's, yeah, that's what's been happening.
Well, that's good. It's good. I mean, music is soothes the soul, I believe, and you can depending on what you're listening to, it can make you feel different ways. But it's, you know, I can't. I mean, making music, actually creating music yourself, I think, is the most cathartic thing of all. So I can definitely see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, it's really fun, right? Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. I really enjoy the feeling of it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a lot of nostalgia going around lately. I always feel like lockdown brings that out in people as well. And just recently, there's been a massive three-part podcast released talking all about the Two Playing Record and Regurgitator back in the mid-90s, which Martin is on as well. Martin, all the way from Mexico, has jumped on.
I know. Like, that's the first interview I think he's had since he was in the band.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It's been really nice to throw back and hear some of his thoughts around the past. I mean, obviously, thinking back 25 years is tricky to do, but it's really great to hear his perspective.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild time. And especially our manager's been posting on social media, like, the tour dates and the amount of gigs we did, and the schedule looked so hectic.
Yeah.
Like, looking at it now, I don't know, I kind of feel tired. And looking at that, I think that's the reason why.
Well, I mean, it's no different nowadays, right? Like, bands that come out, they have to just keep doing gigs and gigs and gigs when we can, of course, because that's how you can keep going, and that's how you get out there and get noticed.
Yeah, and bands don't make any money selling records now, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, live is the way, you know, to try and make a living, I guess.
It is. Have you listened back to the podcast, like, you know, the comments from Martin and Kwan and just...
I haven't heard it yet, but I don't know. I'm kind of scared of hearing my own voice, but I would love to hear what Martin says.
Yeah,
I always loved Martin. Like, I always loved his drumming, and he was a real wild card. He was a pretty wild fella.
Yeah, right.
And I really loved. I always loved where he was at, and his drumming was really great. Yeah.
Oh, amazing drumming and a real way with words. I haven't heard an interview with him for so long, but hearing him chat was just like, yeah, he's you know, not afraid to say what he feels. Is that was he always like that?
Yeah. He's always been a real strong character.
Yeah.
I guess, like, you know, him and Klein are both very strong characters, and I guess I was kind of wedged in between the two of them there at times. Definitely,
sure.
And very opposing kind of views on life, where I was kind of in the middle, I guess.
Yeah, okay. You're the
sitting in the middle.
Mediator.
The diplomatic one, I guess.
It's been 18 months, I think, since Regurgitator played a show. I think you've done a Pogogo show maybe since then, but not the full Regurgitator. It's it's a fairly long break for you guys.
The biggest break ever.
Ever?
I mean, biggest break since we've been together, for sure.
Yeah, right. Are you itching to get back on stage? Must be.
Look, I mean, I'd like to, but, you know, I'm not holding out hope, just because I think it's better just to expect it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard to get your hopes up, right?
Yeah, for sure, because, I mean, oh, man, my calendar is just all liquid papered out. I had all these gigs booked and they all got cancelled, so, yeah.
And you had another project as well. You were launched last year. It's a Magnetic release.
Yeah, album. We did an album the week of the first lockdown. Yeah. That was pretty good timing too. but you know, we can't play live, so let's just make records. That's my rationale.
Yeah, we've been loving that at the Tuck Shop, because despite the fact we can't go out and see music, we're getting so much music coming in. You know, we're hearing new music every single week, and it's amazing how much has been made.
It's
exciting. So I love going through all the music every week and just trying to find 2 hours of songs to play, because it's, you know, it's the highlight of my week every week, is to come in here and play those records for people.
Man, that sounds really cool. Sounds like you're doing something you love there. That's great.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I could talk for ages, and I think I suppose we better wrap it up. But we're gonna take it out with a track which is, I feel like, as we were talking before, is one of those songs that lets you sit back and reflect and relax and enjoy the times with good people, good friends. Breathe In the Sunshine is one I'm gonna play soon.
Okay.
Cool. I really like the start, the guitar at the beginning, the sort of do do do.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool. I think that one song took me as long as the whole rest of the record.
Really? Is it because of that?
I just sweated over that song for months. I was just an idiot. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I really love it, so it was all worth it, right?
Exactly. Man, thanks so much for the interview. I appreciate it, hey.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Really great to chat to you, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you down here for a solo show when we can.
Yes, I would love that. That'd be great.
This is Ben Eli from The Golden Path. Breathe in the sunshine. Thanks so much for joining us, Ben.
Thanks a lot, mate. You have a great night.
You too. See you
later.